This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast. I'm Zubeda Hamid, your host for today. Weight loss drugs, including Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro, have been making headlines across the world. Celebrities, including Oprah Winfrey and Elon Musk, have spoken about using them to quickly and drastically lose weight. First approved for diabetes treatment, these drugs, which consist of semaglutide, are available in the tablet and injectable forms. While the tablet form was approved for use in India last year, recent media reports indicate that at least one injectable semaglutide drug, Mounjaro, is undergoing a regulatory review in India currently and may be available by next year. So what do these drugs consist of and how do they work? What are the side effects you could have by taking them? Will they be a game changer for India that has 10.13 crore people with diabetes and with nearly 50% of the population battling abdominal obesity? What are the prices of these drugs like? And what happens when you stop taking them? We delve into these questions and more with Dr. V. Mohan, chairman of Dr. Mohan's Diabetes Specialties Center and the Madras Diabetes Research Foundation in Chennai. Good morning and welcome to the Hindu's In Focus podcast, Dr. Mohan.
Good morning, Zubeda.
Doctor, the super popular drugs that are being used for weight loss, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, have taken the Western world by storm and are now being accessed in India as well. Can you explain to us what these drugs consist of and how they work?
So this group of drugs, Ozempic, Wegovy, etc., they belong to the class of drugs called as the GLP-1 receptor analogs. Now, what is GLP? It's a hormone which is produced by the intestine and by the gut, basically. And it is called as glucagon-like peptide hormone. There is another hormone also called as glucagon inhibitory peptide or GIP. So both GLP and GIP are intestinal hormones. We call them as incretins. And when this GLP level goes up, it has two actions. The first is that it stimulates insulin release from the pancreas. And the second effect that it has is that it reduces the glucagon level in the body. Now, the pancreas has several cells, and the two most important cells are the beta cells, which produce insulin, and the alpha cells, which produce glucagon. Insulin and glucagon are opposite to each other, which means that insulin will reduce the sugar and glucagon will increase the sugar. And the reason why nature has designed both these hormones in our body is that when the sugar levels go down, glucagon will come out. When the glucose levels go up, the insulin will come out. So they kind of balance out and they're opposite to each other. So that is how they have this. And this GLP-1 hormone does both. In other words, it will release the insulin from the pancreatic beta cells and it will suppress the glucagon from the alpha cell. Now, when it suppresses the glucagon, the sugar level will go down. And when the insulin comes out from the beta cells, also the glucose will go down. So, GLP is one of the hormones, important hormones for controlling the sugar level in the blood. But what happens is that in people with diabetes, this GLP hormone and the GIP hormone, their levels are decreased, which means that the stimulation to the beta cells are not there. Therefore, the insulin secretion is low. And then the suppression of the glucagon is also not there. And glucagon, as I said, increases the sugar, and which is one of the reasons why the glucose levels are elevated in those with diabetes. Now, you may say, then why not just give this GLP hormone itself as oral or injection? The problem with the GLP is that it has a very short half-life. Even if you inject the GLP into the body, it lasts only for 4-5 minutes and it's gone. So therefore, you need something which will make the natural GLP in the body work. So the body's GLP, so by injecting GLP, you're not going to get anything. You'll have to use a compound which will stimulate the body's GLP and keep it high. Then the glucose will be reduced by insulin coming out and the glucagon being suppressed. So that's why they're called as GLP-1 receptor analogs. That means they work on the GLP receptor. They work like the GLP, therefore they are analogs, and they raise the GLP level in the body, the endogenous levels or the body's levels of GLP they raise. Now, the first of these compounds, the GLP-1 receptor analogs, came out many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, when Lilly brought out exenatide, the drug called Byetta or exenatide. Now, that was good, but it had to be injected twice a day and it wasn't the best of drugs. Then came the next drug called liraglutide. This was introduced by Novo, and liraglutide came out. When liraglutide came out, it's a daily injection, one injection per day, and it reduced the blood glucose level. Now, why, you may say, there are so many other drugs to reduce glucose level, why should you go and take this injection when you have sulfonylurea, metformin, so many other drugs are there. Now, the biggest advantage of this GLP-1 receptor analogs is weight loss. Many of the drugs that we use for diabetes, including sulfonylurea, insulin, pioglitazone, all these drugs increase the weight of the person. So, when you have diabetes, you don't want weight gain. But unfortunately, including insulin as a hormone, therefore the weight goes up 2 kilos, 3 kilos, 5 kilos. So, people are not very happy when the weight keeps going up. This particular drug, the GLP-1 receptor analog, actually reduces the weight, which is why they started becoming popular. So, you get two birds with one stone. One is your glucose level is going down. Second, your weight is also going down. So, they started becoming very popular. But the weight loss and the glucose reduction was not all that great with the earlier drugs. Then came the drug called as semaglutide. And semaglutide is a drug which started producing profound weight loss, especially when it is injected. And the injected semaglutide is called as Ozempic when it is used for both diabetes and for weight loss. And if you have another dose of the drug, a slightly higher dose, the name is different. It's called Wegovy, and that is used mostly for weight loss. So, Ozempic and Wegovy both are the same. They are injectable semaglutide, but they started becoming extremely popular because of the huge weight loss. They were able to get 10 to 15% weight loss, which means somebody is 100 kilos in weight. You can get 10 to 15 kg weight loss with this drug, apart from having a huge reduction in the glucose level as well and the HbA1c level also. Then later studies also showed that they could have cardioprotective benefit, which means preventing of heart attacks. Now recently they've shown also kidney benefits. So because of all this, this Ozempic and Wegovy became very popular. They became $1 billion drugs. Now, in India, we did not get Wegovy and Ozempic, the injectable form of semaglutide. About a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, the oral form, the tablet form of semaglutide called Rybelsus, that was introduced. Now, that's a big advantage because you don't have to inject. Now, these injections, by the way, Ozempic and Wegovy, in comparison to liraglutide, which is a daily injection, this is a weekly injection. That means once a week, if you take the injection, is sufficient. It will control your diabetes as well as your weight. So, that was one of the reasons why it is very popular. Now, the oral semaglutide which is introduced in India is called Rybelsus. It is also good, but it doesn't have the same power of the injectable ones. And therefore, you get some weight loss, some reduction in sugars. It's not as good as the injectable weekly forms of semaglutide, but it is being used in India with some limited benefit. Now, the drug controller of India has approved Wegovy, and I think Wegovy is going to be introduced very shortly. You mentioned another drug called Mounjaro. Now, Lilly and Novo are constantly competing, trying to bring better and better drugs into the market. Now, Lilly's response was to bring another compound into the market, not semaglutide, and that drug is called Mounjaro. Now, how Mounjaro differs from Ozempic or Wegovy is that it is not only a GLP-1 receptor analog like semaglutide, it also stimulates the other hormone I mentioned, which is GIP or gastric inhibitory peptide. So it has two drugs in one, and therefore, because two drugs are being stimulated, the effect is even more. So if you get 10 to 15% weight loss with semaglutide, with Mounjaro, which is also called terzapetide, you get up to 20% or even 25% weight loss. Now, of course, Mounjaro is not yet available in India, but it is available abroad. And we'll have to see how Mounjaro and the semaglutide, when they introduced in India, how they are able to afford it. So this is the background and the physiology of these agents as we stand. Finally, there is a third drug which is now in the final stages of clinical trial. It's called retatrutide, and it has three drugs which are stimulated. One is the GLP-1 receptor analog, second is a GIP, and third, it also works on glucagon. So now from one drug, this GLP, which is semaglutide, to Mounjaro or terzapetide, which is two drugs, two hormones, three hormones now, retatrutide is being, and they are talking about 25 to 30% weight loss. That means from 100 kg, you can go down to 70 kg if you take that. If these drugs really become popular and they're introduced, probably bariatric surgery will also go away, because that's what you get with bariatric surgery, which is of course a major surgical procedure with some side effects, morbidity, mortality, etc. Whereas these drugs can replace probably bariatric surgery.
Talk to us a little bit about the side effects of these drugs, doctor. How safe are they to take? There has been so much celebrity craze over them, with all kinds of celebrities bringing out videos and talking about how they have taken these drugs and used it for weight loss. What happens when you take it? As you said, you explain to us how it works inside the body. But what can also happen if you take these drugs? Are there any side effects?
Yeah. So these drugs work primarily on the stomach and the intestine. And they slow down the gastric emptying. That means the amount of time that the food spends in the stomach is prolonged a little bit. And that is one of the mechanisms of by which it works. There are other mechanisms. It also works on the brain. It reduces your craving for sweets or snacks and so on. So there are many benefits. We don't fully understand how it works, but the major action is on the stomach. When you have the major action on the stomach, what happens is that you get nausea, which is there. And with all these compounds from the beginning, whichever one was introduced, they work on the stomach, and therefore nausea is something which is very common. And that is why whenever we give these drugs, we give them at half dose for about a month. Allow the body to get used to it. Then only we give the full dose of the compound. So nausea is quite common. Occasionally they vomit. Most people don't vomit. Sometimes a little bloating of the stomach or diarrhea can be there. So mostly gastrointestinal symptoms, which they say that after a month or so, it goes away. Your body gets used to it, and then you're able to take the larger dose. But some people, definitely these side effects are there and they are not able to continue with it. Now, this is the major side effect which has been seen all over the world. And to be fair, I think about 90 to 95% of patients get over it and they're able to take it. Only about 5% of people have to drop out because of the severe nausea and so on. The other suspected side effects, not proven, is pancreatitis. So these group of drugs, incretin group of drugs, are known to occasionally produce pancreatitis or inflammation of the pancreas. In animals, the use of this drug, especially in mice, has been shown to produce a cancer called the follicular medullary carcinoma of the thyroid. Okay, so medullary carcinoma of the thyroid. In the thyroid, a particular type of tumor has been shown to occur, especially in mice. But in humans, it has not been shown so far, except some one or two isolated reports. So these are the side effects of the thing. Of course, the other effect or side effect, you want to call it, is that it's expensive, and we'll talk about that. But apart from that, I think apart from nausea and occasional diarrhea or vomiting, there are no major side effects, which is the reason why all these celebrities, as you said, have used them. And many, many people have found they're very happy with the weight loss. People who want to lose weight and they're not able to do it with diet, exercise, etc. When you take this, they're very happy to get this kind of profound weight loss that they see with this drug.
But this is not a drug that should be taken as in you just go over the counter, pick it up and take it. It should be taken under the supervision of a medical practitioner.
Definitely under medical supervision, because first of all, they're injectables. Then they have effect on the glucose as well as on weight. The dosage has to be adjusted. And then the follow-up we have to do to see how it is working and whether any side effects are there. And therefore, with all this, it is not something you just go and pick it up like a vitamin pill or a probiotic or something across the counter or a paracetamol. You definitely have to do it under strict medical supervision only.
Let's talk about the cost a little, doctor. We know that in India, we have an obesity problem. The National Family Health Survey data has shown us that, 40% of women and 12% of men are abdominally obese, which is one of the risk factors for diabetes and cardiovascular problems. Could this be one tool in the fight against that? But as you mentioned a little earlier, it is priced very high.
Yeah. So the figures you mentioned are probably even underestimates, because in the ICMR NDIAP study, almost 50 to 60% of women were, because it depends on what criteria you use. If you use the Western criteria of 102 centimeters waist for abdominal obesity, it could be low. But otherwise, if you use the 90 centimeters for, and above for men and 80 centimeters and above for women, almost 60% of women all over India have abdominal obesity, and in men, it's almost 40, 50%. So it is not so low. Now, having said that, all of them don't need this kind of a drug. If you're giving a drug for weight reduction, it'll be in those who are having much higher levels of obesity, say body mass index above 30 or 27 or something like that, or waist much more than say 100 centimeters and more, something like that. So even if you reserve it for such people, quite a lot of people in India will need this drug. As you said, it is expensive. So the average cost of even liraglutide or the oral semaglutide now in our country will be between 10 to 12,000 rupees per month, which means that apart from all other medication and all other expenses, 10 to 12,000 rupees you'll have to spend on this, which means more than a lakh of rupees in a year. So only those who can either afford to pay for that kind of money, or those who get some kind of support, either government is giving it free or something like that. Otherwise, a common man who is not earning all that much, to spend 1 lakh a year just on one drug is quite a tall order for them. And that's why only the relatively well-to-do people use it. The other thing is that when you stop the drug, the effect goes away. So once you start it, you are expected to take it indefinitely for a long time. So that's one of the things which people ask me. If they are some from middle class and I tell them we have this good drug and can we use it for you and can you afford it and would you like to take it? First question they'll ask me how long I should take it. So there's no question of how long. It's not after 3 months you stop it. Once you've got your weight down and sugar down, you stop it. Because the moment you stop it, it'll go up. It's like taking any other drug, BP tablet, sugar tablet, statin, anything you take. As long as you take it, it's there. But once you stop it, it'll come back. And therefore, we carefully have to eliminate assess who can afford it before we start the drug. There's no point in starting it if they are not able to continue it. Having said that, the first of the compounds which I mentioned, liraglutide, which was introduced by Novo earlier, now has gone off patent. And therefore, companies have started making generic versions of liraglutide. Liraglutide, of course, a daily injection, not a weekly one. So that has gone off patent now. And one or two Indian companies have already produced liraglutide in generic form. And there's a 70% reduction in the cost. It means instead of 10,000 rupees, you can now get it for 3,000 rupees. So it makes a huge difference. That means the monthly cost, the yearly cost would be 36,000 rupees. instead of more than 1 lakh of rupees. So the generic versions are coming, and within a few years, the semaglutide, Ozempic, everything will go off patent. Then companies will bring it at a much, much reduced price, and then it will be affordable to more people. But whenever we talk about the science part of it, we don't bring in the money part of it, because that is a social issue, whether you're able to afford it or not. When we talk about in a scientific forum, we only talk about the effects or the side effects of the drug. And cost is a different thing. Who will pay for it is a different issue altogether.
Do we need, as you said, it's a relatively new drug, doctor. So do we need more long-term, say, research papers to follow up on patients who have been taking this to see what happens to them, like, say, 5 years or 10 years from now?
Certainly, because any new drug, sometimes the long-term side effects don't come immediately. They may come after 4 years or 5 years or 10 years and so on. So for that, we cannot be doing trials indefinitely, because doing a clinical trial, RCT and all that for indefinite period is impossible. No company will be able to afford it to do that. But through pharmacovigilance studies, suppose somebody is on a drug and develops a side effect, then we report it in the literature. And also put it into some kind of database, pharmacogenomics database. Suppose second person, third person, fourth person reports it, then the link to that side effect becomes very clear. And then eventually they'll take the drug off the market. In fact, the weight reducing drugs have had a, you know, very bad history. Almost every drug from the 1980s, let's say, which have come for weight loss, eventually got banned. Completely banned, because they produce some serious side effect. And after a few years, 4 years, 5 years, normally you'll know within the first 5 to 6 or 7 years, you'll know. You don't have to wait for 20 years to see the side effect of a drug. So within the first 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, if nothing is happening, you can take it as relatively safe. Now these drugs, although they're just coming to India, they've been around for now 2-3 years in the West and so on. So we're not seeing severe side effects, severe enough for them to withdraw or to be scared of using the drug. They've been very safe and they've been runaway success. In fact, they're sold in black market. So it's not available. People are selling it in the black market. From here, patients are going to Dubai to pick it up from there and so on. So far, so good. But we have to keep an eye on it and be vigilant about it. We call it as pharmacovigilance. Those studies have to go on.
You said, doctor, that you can't stop taking it. So it's not as if, say, if you have a weight problem, you take it for 6 months and then you continue with exercise and diet and continue on your weight loss pattern. That doesn't work?
To some extent, but when you have a drug which is definitely lowering your weight, when you take off the drug, the weight will tend to drift back, because what you can do with diet and exercise is rather limited. If it was not for that, if with diet and exercise you could reduce the weight that much, why do you need these drugs in the first place? You don't need these drugs at all, isn't it? Because diet and exercise is very difficult to follow. Sustainability of that is very difficult. And even when you are on a diet and so on, the weight tends to come back, because in the brain, there are mechanisms to maintain your weight. So whatever you do, it'll start adjusting that set point. And then your weight will go up after some time. So yes, as far as these drugs are concerned, as long as you take them, they will work. If you stop taking them, you're back to square one, and slowly the weight and everything will go back to where it was before you took.
How do you see these drugs? Last question, doctor. How do you see these drugs in India's fight against diabetes? As we know, we have one of the highest rates of diabetes in this world. How do you see it as one of the tools to be continued alongside others, or could this be a proper game changer?
I would say it's one of the tools, because you see, first of all, this is mainly for type 2 diabetes, not for type 1 diabetes. Secondly, within type 2 diabetes also, you have several types of type 2 diabetes. For example, you have the severe insulin deficient type, which comes at a young age. They are very thin, they have severe diabetes, and they don't have enough insulin in their body. We call it a SID, severe insulin deficient diabetes. For that type, this may not be very useful, because this depends more on weight loss, and you don't need that in the SID variety. The second variety is called IROD, insulin-resistant obese diabetic. There it will be ideal. These drugs will be ideal for that. About a quarter to one-third of all patients have that. So in that group, it will be useful. The third variety is what we call a CIRDD, combined insulin deficiency and resistance. Because they still have insulin resistance, it could be useful in the third category also. The fourth category is called mild age-related diabetes. Comes after 50, 60, very mild diabetes. They don't have much weight problem. And it's more of an age-related one. There, these kind of drugs may not be very useful. So in two of them, which are associated with insulin resistance, you'll probably find these drugs working much better. So there are subgroups whom you will choose. So what will you use for the other groups? Use the usual drugs which we have been using. That's why I said, while these are game changers for some people, it's not for everyone. Not that every single person with diabetes needs this group of drugs.
Thank you so much for speaking to us today, Dr. Mohan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure as always. Thank you very much.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.